Well, church, glad you could join me today. We are looking in the book of Philippians. We are actually in chapter 3, and Paul's going to give us some insight into identity. Who are we? Where do we find our identity? A lot of times we find ourselves, are looking at ourselves as Americans, and that's a strong identity. We also find ourselves looking as Christians. What does that mean to us? But Paul gives us some really interesting insights into today in Philippians 3. I'm just going to start with verse 1. He says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you." What's interesting is Paul is again telling them that they need to rejoice. He's commanding them to actually to rejoice. And when we find ourselves in situations where it's difficult, where we don't have control, it is important that we rejoice, that we praise God during those times. Because when we are praising God, when we are rejoicing in where God has us, we find it very difficult to complain. And remember, previously Paul says that we are to do everything without grumbling, without complaining. That doesn't happen if we're not rejoicing in the Lord. So he says, "Brothers, again, I tell you," and it's not difficult for me to tell you this, "but rejoice, rejoice." It's nearly impossible to complain and rejoice at the same time. You see, a natural outcome of us rejoicing is the fact that when we rejoice, we can't complain. And not only that, but when we rejoice, we can fight the fear that we have. By making a choice, we have to choose to rejoice. It doesn't happen naturally. Naturally, when we find ourselves in difficult situations, our first impulse is to not rejoice, but to grumble and complain. But what Paul says is, rejoice, rejoice. And when we rejoice, we guard ourselves against the fear and against the doubt, and against a double-mindedness that comes during these situations that we find ourselves in. So I challenge you in these days to rejoice. Worship God. Praise Him. I have found at times in my life when I was the lowest, when I was at a point of deep despair, if I pulled my guitar out and I did some worship, if I just sang some songs that came to my head, that my spirit is lifted. So Paul says, rejoice. Rejoice. And he tells him, look out for the dogs. Look out for those evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Paul was dealing with people who said they had to come and they had to be circumcised. So they had to mutilate their flesh in order to become Christians. He says, no, that's wrong. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and the glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. We worship in the Spirit and have no confidence in this flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has a reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. He's saying, I am a true Jew, and not just that, I had so much zeal for my Judaism that I persecuted the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever I gain, and whatever I have counted gain, I count now as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. See, Paul is saying that boasting in our flesh is to be avoided. We're not to boast in our flesh. These very things that Paul is talking about, they gave him respect. They gave him honor in Judaism among the Pharisees. He was honored. He was on the fast track to being a great Pharisee. And he says, none of those mean anything. I gave them all up for Christ. You know, what do we have hanging on our trophy walls? Is it our intelligence? Is it our sports ability? Is it our musical ability? What's hanging up there? Where do we find our identity? Is it even in what we say, being an American, being a Christian? Is that where we find our identity? All that is rubbish. All that is garbage. Because knowing Christ is more important than being an American. Being Christ is more important than claiming what it means to be a Christian. You can claim to be a Christian and not know Jesus. Claiming to be extremely intelligent means nothing compared to knowing Jesus. So where do we place our value? What parts of our life in the flesh do we boast about? Our jobs, our homes, our cars, our hobbies? All that is rubbish. Because the answer to that question of what we place our value in should be nothing. The only thing we should place our value in is knowing Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus Christ. These are all valuable things. My intelligence, my musical ability. All those are good things. My home, my family, my job. Those aren't necessarily bad things. But I have to understand that those are gifts from God to be used for His glory and not mine. Because knowing Christ is worth giving up everything else. If I had to give up my pastorate, if I had to give up my family, if I had to give up everything I own, if I had to give up my intelligence to know Christ, am I willing to do it? Am I willing to do it? It's interesting, actually, what Paul calls all these things, the word he uses is for what we put in the toilet. It's refuse. It's garbage. He states that in both cases here, what is life in Christ and what isn't it? Life in Christ is not what comes from the law. It doesn't come from what it says in the law of the scriptures. That's not what life in Christ is. Life in Christ is found through faith in Christ, walking and living every day in faith in Jesus Christ. That's where life comes from. Not from rules, regulations, possessions. We find our life in Christ through faith in Christ. See, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ this Sunday. And it's in that resurrection that we find freedom. Freedom from slavery. I'm going to talk about this tomorrow night. Friday night in my Good Friday message. What did that do for us? What did the cross do for us? And ultimately, what did the resurrection do for us? It brings us life and freedom and deliverance from the power of sin and the power of all these things that we place so much stock in. He finishes these verses 10 and 11. He gives them all up. Why? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. What's the goal? What's the goal in our life? What's the goal that Paul's talking about here? What's his objective? See, it's not that God owes me anything. It's not that God owes us anything. Eternal life. Eternal life is a gift given to us by God. I can't earn it. We cannot earn it. Even if I give up everything that I have, I still cannot earn eternal life. I only earn eternal life by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, trusting in the cross and in the empty tomb, trusting in Him for my salvation. Because apart from Him, I can do nothing. I cannot even be saved apart from Him. Everything comes down to that. See, so why do I do it? Why do we sacrifice? We sacrifice because we love Jesus. Not because of what we're going to get from Him, but because we love Him. And that's what life is all about. Father, we praise You. Lord, help us to keep the right perspective on what life is about. It's not about all these things. It's not about all these things in our life. It's about knowing You and loving You. And because we love You, we know You, and we trust You, we will have eternal life. Thank You, Father. We praise You and we thank You. We pray this in Your name. Amen. God bless, church. We'll talk to you later.